I'd like to start by reading a passage of scripture. In my Bible, it's page 702. And it's one of the Psalms. It's a very well-known Psalm. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of the days. I wanted to read this scripture because I had a particularly bad journey. I was flying up here for the weekend, and my flight got cancelled. And for a brief moment, I thought, that's it, my weekend is ruined. I won't be able to see my brother, I won't be able to see my sister-in-law, I won't be able to see my nephews, I won't be able to see everyone here today. I thought, that'd be a real shame. And I thought, you know, God's allowed this to happen. Whatever happens, he is in control. And I prayed about it, and eventually a way was made through, and I got here just about in time. I was very glad, I was very thankful, but at the time there was a lot of worry and anxiety, and I thought, you know what, if there's anything in scripture, there is a passage of scripture that speaks to my soul of what it's like to know that your destination is assured. And it's this scripture, you know, because it says something, some wonderful things. In just 6 verses of scripture, to me, it encapsulates the wondrousness that is Jesus. And it starts off, Jehovah is my shepherd. Elsewhere, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you might say, well, who is the Lord? Well, we read in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 10, page 1283, if you want to follow. Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. I and the Father are one. You see, I can tell you something. The Lord is my shepherd. I can tell you right now that the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He is the one who I look to. He is the one who has died for me. He's the one who's gone into death for me and has been raised triumphant. And I want to explain to you who he is and why he's precious to me. But first, I want to explain to you that when you belong to Jesus, that can never be taken away from you. The assurance of knowing that when you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, that is assured, and it's forever, and it's permanent. In the Gospel of John, you know, it speaks of no one being able to seize you out of my hand, and that's the hand of Jesus. I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. That, you know, is the blessing, the wondrous offer of grace presented in the gospel. It's Jesus Christ, you know. It's the one who gives life eternal. And we'll speak about that later on. Never perishing. What a wonderful promise, you know. So many people fear death. The Lord Jesus, you know, is the one who's gone into death. He died on the cross. He suffered and he bled and he died for me. Can you say he did that for you? We'll speak about that in a moment. But then, you know, Jesus goes on to say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. What a wonderful way, you know, that the Lord Jesus explains something. That my life is in his hand, and no one can snatch that from him. And then he goes on to say, my Father has given all everything, and no one can take out of his hand. What a wondrous thing it is to know that you are safe in the hands of Jesus. Safe because everything, Nothing can be taken from the hand of God. Nothing can be taken from the hand of Jesus. There's this double reinforcement, you know, that your life is safe with Jesus. What a wonderful promise. And that's why when Psalm 23 starts, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to know that he's my shepherd. And I want to tell you how you can make him your shepherd too. And then it goes on to say, I shall not want. I want to explain something to you, you know. When it says, I shall not want, maybe it'd be better to say, I shall not be in want. The Lord knows everything about you. Absolutely everything. What you've done, what you've said, what you've thought, the little thoughts that you've done, the things you think no one's ever seen before, the Lord Jesus sees everything about you. He sees you exactly where you're sat here tonight, and he knows everything about you. Everything. The worst bits, the absolute worst bits, the things you don't even think anyone else has seen or knows about. The Lord Jesus, the one who is Son of God, has seen everything. He's seen into your heart. He's seen into your mind. He knows everything about you. And you know, dear friend, he loves you. What a wondrous thing, you know, to know that the Lord Jesus has looked inside of your heart and knows everything about you. Everything from the beginning to the end, and yet he still loves you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knows what you need. And you need a savior. You know why? You might say, why do I need a savior? Why do I need someone to save me? Well, it goes on. We'll speak about verse 3, but I want to speak of the attractiveness, you know, of how much Jesus loves you. Because Psalm 23 goes on to speak of, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. I don't know if you know much about sheep. I don't really know too much, to be fair. But I can tell you one thing, that in the Bible, Jesus is presented as the good shepherd. And he gives you the absolute best. He's given you himself, you know. He's given you everything. He's laid down his life for you. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, every single step on this earth is written in the Bible, you know. And you can go and read it. And I'll pick out a few things. Everything he did, everything he said, showed something of the of his mind and his love for you. A wondrous thing, you know. But every single step on this earth took him a step closer to a death on the cross by crucifixion. An awful, terrible way to die. And the Lord Jesus knew this, and yet he still went this way because he loves you and he loves me. This thought, you know, that lying down in green pastures and leadeth beside still waters speaks of so much. It's an image, you know, of something that's far better than where you're at. The Lord knows exactly what you need. He sees your heart and your sinful state. And you know, that's the thing about the scriptures. It's very, very clear. The scriptures say all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus knows this, and he is perfect. And he knows everything about you. But he is also there to offer the remedy to your sin. He's there to offer the best himself. And you know, this is why the writer, the Psalm of David, it says, speaks about this thought of green pastures and still waters. That there's something that's the best on offer. Why would you reject the best, you know? To know that your life, everything that you've done is in all its sinfulness. And you look around and you see the world and wars and famine and strife. And you look inside your own heart. And do you see the same worries and anxieties and all the things that are wrong with you? And you know, that's sin, dear friend. But the Lord Jesus has a remedy because he shed his precious blood for you, that you might be free of the burden of sin and you might come into the blessing of knowing your sins forgiven and to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. That's the blessing, you know. And that's the green pastures, and that's the still waters, because that is where peace to your soul can be found. Do you have peace? Do you have the peace of green pastures and still waters? Do you have the certain knowledge that you are at peace with your Savior God? Because if you don't, I want to present you Jesus, the one who is able to offer you peace. Peace to your heart and peace to your soul. And that's why we have this thought of green pastures and still waters. because it's the best and it's peaceful. What a wonderful thing. And then we come on to this thought. In verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is the last aspect, you know, I wanted to speak about. Restoring your soul. What a price has been paid at the cross, you know. It speaks in Luke 15. It speaks a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. I want you to think about that. Do you think you're righteous? Do you think you're perfect? Do you think you have no need of a savior? The scriptures, you know, speak of just one who has lost sheep. And that's you, dear friend. The one who's gone away. You know, I can say in my heart that the Lord Jesus has found me and he's restored me. What a wonderful thing, you know. He restores my soul. When you think about your soul, dear friends, where are you going? What's your destination? The Bible's very clear, you know. You've got a destination which is very clear. It says, because of your sin, the wages of sin is death. And after death, judgment. You'll have to face God for everything that you've done. That's what the Bible says. He restoreth my soul. What does that mean? It means, you dear friend, that the Lord Jesus has come down here onto this earth. It says, God manifest in flesh. Hallelujah, what a savior. We can speak of Jesus as the one who is able to restore all who come to him. He restoreth my soul. And then it says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The Lord Jesus, you know, came here as a man. Perfect in everything. Perfect in every single way. It speaks, you know, of this. It's the voice out of heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear him. The Lord Jesus shows us the way. He's shown us the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. That's what Jesus said. He was the way. He is the way. What a wonderful thing we have the scriptures to point us to Jesus. And it says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a wonderful contrast to my own heart, dear friend. And you think about your heart. Think about where you're at right now. And think of the one, the perfect man, Jesus, who's shown everyone through his walk here on earth and on the cross, what he has done for you and for me. He's shown you the way that you can be restored to God. That vast chasm, you know, of sin, Jesus dealt with it at the cross. You know, it says as in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only beloved son. Let's just read it together. Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged, but he that believes not has been already judged, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Think about that, you know. The righteous one, the perfect one, the man Jesus. He suffered and he bled and he died that you may go free. And he did so because he loves you. All your sins he took upon himself and suffered that judgment on the cross. And he did it because he loves you. What wondrous righteousness we see at the cross. What a contrast to our own hearts, to my heart, to your heart, that we have the one Jesus to look to. For his name's sake, You know, it speaks in Scripture that the name of Jesus will never die. It lives in my heart. The name of Jesus lives in my heart. Does he live in yours? You know, Jesus is a name that means so much to so many, but it means life and it means peace. I want to think tonight, dear friend, do you have this wonderful peace in your heart of knowing your sins forgiven, of knowing that there is someone who loves you with a love that's unfailing and has gone this way for you and for me? What a wondrous love is on offer. And all you have to do is repent, a turning away from the old way, your old way of life, that you might live to yourself. No, that's not what Jesus wants. He wants you to live for Christ, for himself, to know that there is life in his name. What a wondrous thing, you know, to turn your heart to Jesus, turn your heart away from sin and latch on to that wonderful love, that wonderful free offer of grace. All you have to do is turn to Jesus and repent. Repent and be converted. What a wonderful thing, you know, that there is that offer and it can be yours right now. All you have to do, you know, is turn your heart to Jesus and say to him, I've sinned and I believe that you died for me. And you have to believe it and know it in your heart and you could be free, free from the burden of sin, free from the burden of that worry, free from the burden of that awful weight of sin, and know that there is now peace between you and God. What a wondrous peace there is on offer through the work of our Lord Jesus on the cross. But then, I don't want to dwell too much on the last three, but they're important. Because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To my understanding, shepherds have these two implements. There's a staff and there's a rod. The rod is sometimes used for chasing away things like that might threaten the flock. Staff is there to protect. What a wondrous thing, you know, that when you come to know Jesus as your Savior, you come into this wonderful fold of sheep that are looked after by the best shepherd who's ever walked on this earth. To know that you come into the wonderful sphere of protection. To know that even though you might be in a circumstance that's really worrying, it says the valley of the shadow of death. Even as a Christian, you know, you go through the valley of shadow of death, you know. There's still things that might trouble you. There's still things that cause genuine worry in your life, even as a believer. But it says here, I will fear no evil. Why? Why does it say, I will fear no evil? For thou art with me. That's the Lord Jesus. What a wondrous help it is to the believer to know him in your heart. The one who is with me. Nothing. You don't need to fear evil. There is evil around us, dear friend. You look around and you can see what's in the world. There's famine, there's death, there's wars, there's people fighting. You don't know what could happen. That's the reality, you know, of being a believer. It doesn't mean that your life is suddenly magically wonderful, no. But it does mean, thou art with me. The Lord Jesus will be with you all the days until the completion of the age. What a wonderful promise to the believer, that if you put your faith and trust in him, you come into that sphere of protection. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort you, you know. Do you feel that the Lord Jesus is watching over you and looking out for you? And do you fear evil? There is a wonderful offer of protection on hand. And then it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I want you to think about the wonderful abundance of love, that there is abundance of everything that you need, of blessing, of hope, of joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus, that you are given this wonderful place, not just as saved sinners, but as sons. You're elevated into this position of sonship before the Father. That's the blessing of knowing Jesus as your Savior. My cup runneth over. What a wonderful expression, a vision, you know, of exactly what it means to be a believer, that there is an abundance of what you need, of what's good for you, of blessing. And then the last thing, the one thing I'd like to finish with, surely, and that's important, surely, goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of the days. That's the promise to the believer, that we will be with him in eternity, that we have this glorious promise, a new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you accept him in your heart, I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of the days. That you will be with Jesus in heaven, and you'll know the love of that wondrous place, to be with Jesus in glory, to be in that wonderful house. Surely, goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. What a promise, you know. To know Jesus will be with you all the days of your life. Turn your heart to Jesus. Know that there is wonderful peace and rest and your sins forgiven if you put your faith and trust in him for his name's sake.